You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
And it's another episode of Bible Prophecy Daily. I'm your host this go around, Jake McCandless. I am writing and speaking through a ministry called Stand Firm, encouraging believers to stand firm and help them navigate such a time as this. And in this episode, I want to look at one of the greatest summaries of Old Testament prophecy in the New Testament. Yes, one of the greatest summaries of Old Testament prophecy. And you've read it. I've read it. I've read it countless times. And it wasn't until just a couple months ago it clicked. It clicked to what treasure we have in this verse. And so as we look at this summary, not only does it help us understand what the first century mind, Jewish mind, thought, also helping us understand how prophecy was unfolding, but it also helps us as a follower of Christ, as a student of the Word, also see how we can wrestle with prophecy in the Word, look out and see what's going on in the world, and balance that and walk through that faithfully. So we're going to Luke chapter 2. Yes, Luke chapter 2. Yeah, that's the first advent. That's the birth of Christ. That's the Christmas narrative. And no, this isn't a Christmas special. It is stemming out of my Christmas special from last month. One of the heroes, I believe, of the first advent is Simeon. We find Simeon in Luke 2 as Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple. There at the temple, they find a faithful and devout and righteous man named Simeon, who has been waiting for what the NIV says is the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the Messiah. He's waiting for the promises that would come through the Messiah. He's waiting for the kingdom. And as he sees Mary and Joseph and their baby, NIV says he's moved by the Spirit and recognizes this is what he's promised. And as he speaks, seemingly a blessing or prophecy over the child, he drops one of the best summaries of Old Testament prophecy. If we could summarize it as good as Simeon, we would be doing good. For most of my ministry, I have not been able to. Only the journey over the last few years. Probably a similar journey to many of you as I've been looking at the Old Testament prophecies and wrestling with them. Have I seen what Simeon's talking about? So last month I was sharing through my episode here, through some other avenues, sharing about how we can look back at this first advent and see how we should be prepared for the second coming. Of course, again, Simeon and another individual that is met at this time, Anna, to me, are just the rock stars. They are waiting. They have read the Word. They understand prophecy. They understand the times. And they're walking in the Spirit, and they realize something is coming. And they're there at the temple awaiting for the Lord to move. And they recognize the Messiah, even as this baby. But as I was working through it, it just really hit me, all that Simeon brings together. So I want to read this account, but one of the things walking through it, I want us to see what the summary is, some of the things that he's pointing back to, and what his understanding is. But I also think we need to see this mix of exegesis and personal revelation, because that's something. It's hard to find prophecy teachers, Bible teachers who balance these two. I believe the lineup on this podcast are some of the best at that. We tend to either throw out one or the other. There's camps that focus on just personal revelation or modern revelation. I mean, you've seen it. You know, all those books that came out, all those messages at the first of 2020. 2020 is going to be your breakthrough year. And I'm picking on those, but you know what I mean, right? Where the Lord told me this. We have those who focus purely on that. We have that camp. And then we have the camp that is focusing only on teaching Scripture accurately. And unfortunately, that camp rarely gets to the actual prophecy in Scripture. It's not that we need to have one or the other, but we need to be faithful to the Word. We need to get it accurate. We need to have a firm, solid hermeneutic as we're working through the Scriptures. We need to know the Word. But we should also expect personal revelation, and that's not the right term, but guidance by the Holy Spirit. If we're seeking the Lord, as we read in John 16, the Holy Spirit guides us in all things yet to come. So I think it's interesting to see how these piece together. And so I want to encourage you as we read through this to kind of see this mix. So we pick up verse 25, Luke 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, I want to pause right here because this gets into the summary. This gets into the great summary there by Simeon. But let's look back at this dynamic of the Word and the Spirit. So one, he's righteous and devout. He's faithfully walking, you know, in the law, been faithful to the Lord. That righteous factor is a big deal. You know, it's a struggle. That's not the right word, but it's an art to learning to hear from the Lord and follow him. And one sure way to get it wrong is to have one foot in darkness in sin and one foot in the light. So he's walking in the light. He has pure fellowship with the Lord. So I believe in that element, hey, we need to trust what the Holy Spirit's doing in his life. So it says in verse 26, or verse 25, it says he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So these two verses, we have both sides of this. So the Holy Spirit's on him, and the Holy Spirit has revealed, given him this personal revelation that he personally would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. That's the Spirit at work. But the Spirit did not have to explain to him what the consolation of Israel was. That was something he knew from the Word. He knew that there was a promised Messiah. There was a promised Davidic king that would come and bring this eternal kingdom. He recognized that all the things that would come into play that the prophets explained about this time. So you have this, he's immersed in the Word. He's got this foundation. He's got these guardrails of truth. But yet within that, he's given the green light like this is coming. Now, I'm curious of what he thought that would be. I doubt he thought necessarily this was a baby, and definitely the parents would be that of Mary and Joseph. Like those who were looking for Jesus to come as the conquering king. Now, some of the things he reveals, he recognized from the prophet Isaiah that there would be a suffering servant. I did an episode several months back about I did a series on lessons we can learn from going back to the time COVID-19 and the impact of that, and let that guide us in how we help warn others, how we deal with prophecy. And one of the things I said was we've got to be careful not running too far with it. So the Holy Spirit could have spoken to his heart, guided him, that he would see the Messiah. But again, we're very, very often we will run with and fill in the blank with what that would look like. And so we need to make sure we're grounded in the Word, but we've got to be careful not to take any personal revelation too far. Does that make sense? So I love to see how these two things are combined. And then with that, as Mary and Joseph come in, the Holy Spirit points to Simeon and says that this is the one in the amount of faith he has. Now, it seems like he's walked with the Lord for a long time. He knows the Lord's voice. But the faith to say, hey, this is the one, and to say that. Okay, well, let's move into his summary. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Did you catch some of that summary? Just a few verses, but Simeon captured so much. So again, going back to verse 25, where it talks about awaiting the consolation of Israel. I mean, there's so many passages that talk about how God would restore Israel, would establish his eternal kingdom, how the Lord would rule, this Messiah would rule from Jerusalem. I think one of the clearest is Isaiah 49. But it's interesting that when you talk prophecy today, that's not the thing we go to. But that was the thing in the first century, and often when we hear that presented today, it's like they just looked at Jesus as this Messiah that would come and bring his kingdom and, you know, restore things politically. And it's seen as this bad thing. Well, no, that's what the scripture said. That was the main thing said about the Messiah, and it is ultimately what the Messiah is going to do. And so we need to make sure, and I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but we have to make sure that the consolation of Israel, the restoration of Israel, the millennial, what we understand as the millennial kingdom, messianic kingdom, is central in what's happening. Israel is central to what's happening. Simeon didn't have it wrong. Now, I think it's one of the best summaries of just understanding what the expectation of the first century was, and that wasn't a wrong expectation. That was a correct interpretation of the prophets. Verse 26, he says, the Lord's Christ or Messiah. We understand that's the anointed one, which especially can be taken back to 2 Samuel 7. We also see Isaiah 9. I think you go all the way back to Genesis 3:15. You can go back to the prophecy to Judah about the scepter would rule out of Judah. But it was understood that there would be this king that would come. This, when we say Messiah, yeah, it's the promised one. And yes, he would be the Savior. They understood that. But ultimately, when they said anointed one, he's the Davidic king. Like how David was anointed with oil to be the next king, even though Saul was on the throne. That's this promised one, the anointed one, the Messiah. And so, I mean, in a nutshell, you know, he's understanding the Messiah is coming. He's the promised king, and he's going to restore and establish his promised kingdom in Israel. Very interestingly, we jump to verse 30 through 32. For my eyes have seen your salvation. It was this understanding the Messiah would be a Savior. I mean, we go back through all the types. I mean, even with Moses and the judges and all throughout the history there, those were all types of saviors. That was understood, but this savior was going to be a particular person who was going to be that Davidic king. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all the nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. This is incredible, right? Especially think of Isaiah 49:6. to have been a light for the Gentiles. But Isaiah 40, verse 5, Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 2. I mean, this idea that, and Simeon got it. Yes, this was the promised king who would restore Israel, but somehow the nations would be blessed as Abraham was told through this promised one. To me, that's just incredible insight. We don't see much of this at all throughout Jesus' life as people are understanding and responding to him. But Simeon got it. And so he's got the A+. He was the guy you want to listen to his podcast on prophecy leading up to the coming of the first advent because he had it right. Then he steps up the game in verse 34 where he says to Mary, he says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." In one sentence, could you better explain how the coming of the Messiah, coming of Jesus in the first century, his life and ministry, his ascension and his waiting to come back, the impact that's had on the nation of Israel and the impact it's had on Jews? Could you better explain world history? The falling and rising of many in Israel, a sign to be spoken against. It makes me think of the passage where we talk about this being a stumbling stone. You know, it's talked about in the New Testament that this cornerstone in Jerusalem has become a stumbling stone for the nations. It's interesting to see how different translations deal with this. The NIV, as we read, it says, "a sign that will be spoken against." But you go to the English Standard, it says, "for a sign that is opposed." The Legacy Standard Bible, "for a sign to be opposed." The NET Bible, "to be a sign that will be rejected." In the NLT, "he has been sent as a sign of God, but many will oppose him." Again, I mean, that description, this is the line. I mean, this is the line that has defined the last 2,000 years in Israel, but I mean, really in the world. Talks about many hearts being revealed. Makes me think of Ezekiel and Jeremiah who talk about a stumbling block. And then we see that again in Matthew 21, Acts 4, 1 Peter 2. But then he closes with telling Mary, "a sword will pierce through your own soul also." Interesting, you know, I wish we knew exactly what he meant here. But it would seem to be he understood the pain Mary would experience. And no doubt that has to go back to the cross. I feel like Simeon, not only did he understand the kingdom aspect, the Messiah aspect, but he understood the suffering servant aspect in Isaiah. He understood Isaiah 53 quite possibly. I hope you have found this interesting to walk through. I mean, these just really few verses. But here, over 400 years after the close of the Old Testament, some 700 years since the close of Isaiah, and Simeon just nails it. So if we want to understand how things should have been understood, this is it. And so therefore, it better impact our understanding of prophecy. We better make sure we have the kingdom, the restoration of Israel, central. We better make sure that understanding the Messiah as this promised one, promised king, promised Davidic king, is central. But it doesn't mean we neglect the fact that this was salvation to the world, to the Gentiles. I think understanding the division Jesus came, and Matthew 10 where he says, you know, I did not come to bring peace, but the sword. And I mean, that's what we've seen happen. But I also hope that the working through the balance between personal revelation and biblical prophecy helps. Because I think that's where me and you are. I mean, we're wanting to be students of prophecy and get scripture right. But as we seek the Lord, he's showing us what to do with that and how to interpret that in our settings. We've got to be careful not to run too far with it. But we also need to have the faith to step forward with it. I wonder how Simeon, what he thought this knowledge would be. Did he think he was going to be the one to herald in the coming of the Messiah? Is that what the Lord meant? And it turns out really how he's ultimately used is he's ultimately used by God to further explain some of the things that are going to happen to Mary and Joseph. I wonder if Mary, as she's there below the cross, remembers Simeon's words. Simeon, the great summarizer. Again, thank you for checking out Bible Prophecy Daily. Again, I'm Jake McCandless. You can find me at stanfordministries.com. Love to hear from you.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.